Let's go, men.
Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order. In yesterday's story, you saw how the evidence began to pile up, making Tracy sure that Spike Connolly was responsible for the dynamiting of the empty safe. You remember, too, how Sergeant Martin, while distributing posters of the description of Spike and his girlfriend, reported to Tracy his suspicions concerning the occupants of a certain house. Jumping into their car, Dick and Pat were soon there. While Dick rang the front doorbell, Pat went around to the rear to forestall any escape from that direction. Inside, Spike and Gert didn't know of Pat's whereabouts, made their way slowly toward the rear of the house. Today, Spike and Gert are almost at the back door. Dick is still ringing the front doorbell. Listen.
Just follow me, Gert. We'll get out this back door and beat it.
But they probably got cops all around the block. We're never going to get away with this, Spike.
Shut up and come on. Head for the back door.
Listen. They're surrounding the block.
Never mind that. Once you're out of here, we can get the car out of the garage and give them a slip. Now, take it easy. I'm going to open the door.
Okay.
It's okay. Come on.
All right, not so fast, you two. Stand right where you are.
Oh, he's got...
Never mind that, sister. Just stay right where you are.
Now, look, mister, we ain't done nothing. We were just going
out... Save that. I know who you both are. Now, stick out your hands.
Are you going to handcuff us?
Well, these aren't exactly pearl bracelets. Stick them out, I said.
Now, just a minute, mister, before you get funny with those handcuffs. Just who are you?
Oh, wise guy, eh? Well, you'll find out that soon enough. No more fooling now. I haven't got any time to waste. Dick Tracy is around the front.
Dick Tracy?
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, so you want to play that way, eh? Then here goes me, Bucko. Hit him, Gert. Not this time. Now, how do you like that, eh? You hit it up.
Come on, Spike. I knocked him out. I hit him with my shoe. Let's go.
Yeah. Head for the garage. I saw a car in there.
A break. The door wasn't locked.
Quick, get in. Now, this thing will only start.
Spike, we can't go out the front way. The cops.
Hang on.
See, Spike, we made it.
That's right, kid. I had to drive through the back of the garage or else go out in the front.
They're after us.
Look out the back. Can you see them?
No, I can't see him. But that siren sounds closer.
I'm going to take this next corner. Now, take another look.
We're okay. We're in the clear. I don't even hear the siren anymore.
Did I tell you, kid, I said we'd make it, didn't I?
We wouldn't have made it unless I hit that guy in the head with my shoe.
Ah, you were great, baby. You're nice and cold.
Yeah. Well... Where are we going, Spike?
Well, I ain't decided yet. Gotta put a couple of miles between us and the cops. Too busy driving right now to think of anything else.
What are you stopping for, Spike?
I ain't stopping. Something's the matter with this car.
What? We're out of gas.
Shut up.
Oh. That's what it is. This truck didn't have any gas in it.
I'd better get out and take a look. Gas gauge seems to be busted.
Up, Spike.
Give me time, will you?
What's the matter? You out of gas?
What?
Are you out of gas?
I don't think so. I only had a tank filled this morning. You did have it filled, didn't you?
Yeah, I had it filled right to the top.
Well, I'll shut this thing off and come over and have a look. Maybe I can help you. Full of gas, maybe it's the ignition.
That's just what I was looking at when I lifted the hood. I don't know much about car engines myself.
Well, just step to one side and let me have a look under that hood. I've been fixing my own cars since the days of the old Kid Lizzie.
Well, now, ain't that nice? Oh. Come on, Kurt.
Gee, you're knocking cold.
Let me carry him over to the bushes.
Okay.
Oh. And we'll take his car. Oh.
Far enough?
Yeah, this will be okay. I don't want him to be seen from the road. Now, come on. Come on, Gert, will you? Come on.
Spike,
feeling, Pat?
Oh, boy, this head of mine feels as if it had stopped a Nazi shell. Wow. That dame certainly put everything she had behind that shoe. Look at the lump on the top of my head. Why, I can't even get my hat on, Dick. Oh, wait till I lay hands on that pair again.
Oh, let's get back to the car. I want to contact headquarters.
They certainly made a sucker out of me. What do you think of that dame getting into the scrap? That's what fooled me. Where's the rest of the boys, Dick?
I sent them on a patrol. Driving through the back of the garage completely caught them flat-footed. Oh, here's the car, Pat.
Hey, Dick, isn't that our signal?
That's us, all right. Now turn up the amplifier. Inspector Tracy, go ahead.
Sergeant Ross speaking, Inspector.
Go ahead, Ross.
Flash just came in from the highway patrol. I think it may have bearing on your case.
Yes?
Alan Preston of 575 South Street reports that he stopped to help two motorists that seemed to have mechanical trouble with their car.
A man and a woman?
That's right. And the minute he got the chance, the man slugged Preston, dragged him into the bushes and took his car. I've questioned Preston. The description of the man and woman tallies with your bulletin.
Any more details?
The license number of Preston's car was 4159-M, like in morning. It was a black sedan, four-door, 1938 model.
Good work.
Here's something else that may help, Inspector. Just as Preston was coming to, he saw the car turn around and start back in a northeasterly direction. The man was driving. The woman was sitting alongside of him in the front seat.
Good. Either one of them armed?
Apparently not.
Thanks, Sergeant. Pat and I will take over. Keep all men on 24-hour duty. Have them stand by for instructions. And pass the word around to the rest of the cars. Have them converge toward Area B. That ought to take enough to cross their trail.
Yeah, I'll get right to it, Inspector. Good luck.
Now, let's go, Pat. If you're well enough to drive.
It's just that my head throbs a little. It'll soon be all right. Do you want to go direct on this highway, or shall we take the back roads?
Back roads, Pat. They won't stick to the highway. They'll know we'll have every man after them. Step on it. And get to the junction of this highway on number 6 as fast as you can.
No luck, Dick. Been over every back road of the way. No sign of them.
That doesn't mean they aren't around here somewhere. They have to be, Pat. They can't just disappear.
Well, I'm beginning to think they can. We've seen 6 of the other cars, and they all say the same thing. No sign of them or the car. You know, I'd hope they might have trouble with that one, too.
Pull over, Pat. I want to check with the rest of the cars.
Okay.
Tracy calling car 7. Come in, 7.
Car 7, go ahead, Inspector.
What's the report?
Nothing to report, Inspector. We're at number 14. No traces as yet.
Keep me advised.
Yes, sir.
Inspector Tracy calling car 5. Come in, please.
Car 5, Inspector. I heard you talking to 7. My report's the same.
Okay, 5.
We'll keep you posted. Proceeding according to plan.
Inspector Tracy, calling car 6. Come in, please.
O'Connor in car 6. Heard your questions. We haven't got much, Inspector, but here it is. We questioned a farmer walking along the road. Said he thought he'd seen a car like the one we described with a man and woman in it, but couldn't be sure.
What direction was it going in?
Well, according to this man, it was proceeding in a northwesterly direction. When last seen was about 4 miles from the intersection of Middlebush Road and a highway.
Thanks, O'Connor. Pat and I will be right up there. The rest of you stand by. The rest of you stand by. That applies to all cars. That is all. Let's go, Pat.
You know, Dick, I think I know just about where O'Connor meant. It's right up in the heart of the farming district.
I know, Pat. When we get up there, I think I'll do a little inquiring on my own. Strangers always attract attention in rural districts. We'll start questioning some of the natives. And I'm willing to bet we'll soon run across a clue.
Hey, Dick, why don't we go ask that guy standing in front of that farmhouse?
That's just what I was going to do, Pat. Good afternoon, sir.
Howdy.
A nice day.
Could stand a little rain.
I thought you might be able to help us out. We're from headquarters.
Figured you was. Saw your car drive up.
We're trying to locate a man and a woman.
I haven't seen them. How do you know you haven't? Because I know a man and woman when I see one.
No, you misunderstand. This man and woman were in a car, a stolen car. We had information that they might have come this way. You see, these two are criminals. They're wanted by the law.
You sure you haven't seen any strangers around here? Now, listen, we came here...
No use, Pat. Come on.
Yeah, but this guy...
Come on, Pat.
Okay. So, we'll try the next place and get the same kind of an answer. Now, if it had been me, I would have...
Look behind these trees.
Now, what's all this about? I thought we were going to the next place and see if we could pick up Spike's trail.
We don't have to go to the next place. Spike and the girl are in the house we just left.
What?
That's right.
Well, tell me, how do you figure that out?
When I was talking to the farmer, he tipped me with a wink. There's Bear all right, Pat.
But why didn't he say so?
Probably Spike or the girl was holding a gun on him. I can't be sure of that, but mark my words, they're in there all right, and we have to get them out. Now, let's keep under cover and get back to the car. I want to contact all the other cars and have them block off every path or road in this area. This time, we're not going to miss.
In a moment, we return to Dick Tracy. But first, boys and girls, Dick Tracy fans, you know, teamwork in everything we do is very important. And no one knows it better than the soldiers in our combat ground forces. Men like First Sergeant Marion Hitchens, for instance. While he was manning an anti-aircraft gun in the Admiralty Islands, Japanese ground troops opened up nearby on American soldiers with heavy grenade and small arms fire. Under heavy fire, Sergeant Hitchens dashed to a machine gun and single-handedly placed heavy and accurate fire on the Japs. In addition to killing at least 12, he helped stop the enemy attack. Now, boys and girls, that's teamwork where it counts, where a man thinks only of his buddies and not of himself. Every one of our servicemen belong to the same fighting team. And every one of us here at home who buys a war bond joins that team. We don't have to worry about Jap bullets or grenades, and our job at home is much the easiest of all. We've only got to buy more bonds and keep them, so that the fighting members of our team never have to let up for the lack of a single gun or bullet. So, boys and girls, do your bit for the team. Buy that war bond today. And now, back to Dick Tracy.
You, farmer, get back in here. I'll let you have it with your own gun. You sure you didn't tip them off?
He couldn't, Spike. I heard every word he said. Anyhow, they've gone off.
Okay. But if they come back, this guy gets it with his shotgun.
Quietly making their way back to their car, Dick and Pat began contacting all the patrol cars and giving them instructions. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, same time, same station, for the adventures of Dick Tracy. This is George Gunn speaking. Boys and girls, every day, thousands and thousands of new friends join the ranks of fans who faithfully follow the adventures of Dick Tracy and Pat Patton. We don't mean just youngsters either. No, indeed, there are plenty of grown-ups who are listening in, too. And did you know this? All over America and in other countries as well, more than 200 newspapers feature the daily adventures of Dick and Pat. And each weekday, another episode of Dick Tracy, one of your favorite radio broadcasts, comes to you at the same time over more than 100 radio stations from coast to coast. So listen to Dick Tracy Monday through Friday. Don't miss tomorrow's exciting chapter in the adventures of Dick Tracy. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.